who's having some pain in the groin area this morning. He told me that he slept good till about 5 o'clock, and then the pain began to keep him awake. And so, you know, when something like that happens, of course, the first thing you're thinking is, well, the cancer's acting up. The cancer's trying to take more territory or something. And as Pastor Dwight says, cancer cells are nothing but confused cells, and God's not the author of confusion.
Amen.
So
I like Pastor Dwight.
Yes, he's always got words of wisdom.
And it's just a little, it's not the wrong twist. It's just a new little light that shines on it in a separate way. And I enjoy that, Pastor. You do a good job. Father, we just come to you, Lord, for these beautiful kids, these twins, Lord, and we just ask God for Kelby and Keegan, that you will be with them as they walk through this process, that you will help them not to get dry sockets, God, that you will help them with the pain after it, God. May it be a piece of cake, Lord, when it was so dreaded, God. I just pray today that your hand will be upon them, that you'll walk them through this and through the healing. Touch them. Help them know you love them. Show them, God, your plan for their lives, and help them to draw near and to walk in the plans of God, that they might be useful for your kingdom and have great joy in their life. God, I pray, Lord, for Joe. Father, this has been something that Neva has stood against, and we've all prayed. And Lord, you're still the same God. You haven't changed. There's nothing impossible to you. So, Father, in your name, we lift Joe up to you, and we ask that you will kill every cancer cell in his body, that you'll remove tumors. God, tumor's nothing to you. You can remove a tumor. And God, I ask for you to remove the tumors. And God, that he will live a long, healthy life. God, if he lived to 100, what a wonderful thing that would be. I ask you, God, just to put your hand upon Joe. Take the pain. We rebuke the pain in Jesus' name. We commit him to you. We rebuke doubt, fear, and unbelief, and we pray, God, that the word of God, the will of God, and the healing of God happen in his life, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The Refuge Church is a non-denominational church. It is located at 18410 Highway 152 in Sayre. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey is an amazing woman of God. And Prophetic Voice Ministry is located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. And Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located at the Promise Center here in Elk City. They are all some of our Facebook sponsors. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction locks and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Love your ride today at Bardice and Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters. We know that loving your ride means taking care of it. Our service team is here to keep your vehicle running its best, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. With the largest team of certified technicians in Western Oklahoma, let us show your ride some love today. Come experience the Barber Dyson difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at BarberDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
It's not time to go yet, y'all. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest is the beautiful Sister Judy Gifford. The title for today is My Favorite Scriptures.
Amen. The Word of God. The Bible says it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It says if we hide these words in our heart, we won't sin against God. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? I was just looking at some other scriptures that are so precious. I love this one. It says, Psalms 56. It says, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his name. In God, I will put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Oh, wow. We were flying from Cape Cod, South Africa. We'd landed in Cape Cod, and then we were taken off. And, you know, we're getting ready to fly all night. We're in one of these huge planes, and we're getting ready to fly all night over the waters. So I got a little bit apprehensive. You know, I want to know the Lord's going to take care. I never wanted to be fish food. It just never appeals to me, the thought of being fish food or spending my time before the rapture in a fish's belly. You know, I just don't want that. And so I was asking, I'm sorry, being goofy, but I asked the Lord, just kind of praying, and I opened the scripture, and it says here, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I will put my trust. And this little song just started going over in my mind. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Whenever I'm afraid, no matter come what may, I will trust in you. I sang that over and over. No verses, all just that little chorus. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Whenever I'm afraid, no matter come what. See, I was a little apprehensive flying over that ocean. And yet, when I was afraid, I'm trusting in you. It got me over the ocean, and here I sat years later, you know, and that was about in the year 2000. And here I sat all these years later. So I just say, what a wonderful thing God's word did for me that day. It brought me comfort over the ocean. I remember being on another flight with my mother, and we were coming from Atlanta, Georgia, back to Oklahoma. And literally, I have never been on a flight that was so bad. I mean, it was, we were up and then we'd fall. And then we'd go up and then we'd kind of fall and catch. It terrified me. I got the word of God. I'm trying to read. Okay, where's that? You know, I'm trying to read the word of God. And my mother sitting there by me, she's going, ride 'em, cowboy. And she's just having fun. Ride 'em, cowboy. She said she'd been in worse ones. You know, she had one person that she was on a small plane, and they just messed with her on purpose with that, you know, like they gave her a heart attack when she was younger. So that was a piece of cake, what we were going through there. And later she said, were you really afraid? I said, I was terrified. She said, I'm sorry. Instead of comfort me, she's going, ride 'em, cowboy. You know? But, you know, God's word is there for us. This one, I wanted to read this one to you. It's Psalms 57. It says, Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you. In the shadow of your wing will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. And someone told me years ago, I think it was Sister Betty Bascom, that you can always pray for these things. Someone did. Mercy and truth. You're always right to pray for these things. You're never wrong in saying, God, I need your mercy. I need your truth. Would you reveal? And let me say something about truth. Hang with truth. No matter what's coming against you, because you know what? Truth will rise to the surface. And if you tell a lie, the truth's going to rise. And then it's going to show you told the lie. And I had one person that was in a real unusual situation. There was a confrontation between two people. One was higher than the other, but there's a confrontation. People saw this confrontation happen. And then they came to this one person who was going to have to report. And they said, you're going to be asked about this situation, and you better say it didn't happen. You better say that didn't happen. And so this person called me and said, what should I do? They said, I'll be fired if I don't lie. And I said, you know what? Truth rises. You be truthful. And you say, I'm sorry. I don't want to get that person in trouble. But this really did happen. It really did. And you just hang with the truth. They call me later and go like, it was a trick. They were trying to see if I would lie. They were trying to make me lie to see what kind of character I had. They caused this situation and then told me I better not tell the truth or I would lose my job. Guess what? Because I stuck to the truth anyway, they promoted me. And he got a you know what they were doing? Testing to see the integrity. And what is there? The integrity. Stick with truth. Just, you know, you don't have to be hateful about it. Yeah, he was snotty and hateful, you know, whatever. No, no, the incident happened, and I'm sorry, but I got to tell you the truth. And I tell you what, people are looking for somebody they can trust with their money when you're checking somebody out. They're looking for people they can trust. You stick with truth, and you stick with right, and God will promote you. Amen. Amen. Okay, and now one more scripture that I want to give here. It's almost time to go. Well, there's scriptures about he'll help us when we pass through the waters. But I want to jump over to Romans 8, something in the New Testament here. This scripture has just came. I've parts of it I've studied and known all my life, but this part seemed to jump out to me. It's Romans 8, and it's verses 31. It starts, it says, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" I mean, that's when I'm looking for healing. And that is one of the things that has really stood out to me. Mm-hmm. If he gave Jesus his only son, how will he not with Jesus give you everything else mm-hmm. you need? Why would he withhold any good thing from you, Monica? Because he gave you Jesus. That was his best. So that's a first fruit to show us he gave us Jesus. Then any other thing I ask him, he said, asking you would receive, seeking you would find, knocking it would be open to you. And it's an assurity here. He spared not his own son. He delivered him up for us all. Then how shall he not with Jesus also give you all the other things you're asking for? Isn't that beautiful? And then he says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore also is risen. Who is even at the right hand? This is where Jesus is and what Jesus' ministry is right now. Jesus is even at the right hand of God. Jesus makes intercession for us. So that is what he is doing right now. He's waiting on your prayer. He's waiting on you to call on his name. He's sitting there waiting for you to call on him. Why not? Why not ask for mercy and truth and grace to help you today? And then it goes on, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. I love this. Mm-hmm. Paul went through a lot of stuff. But he's saying, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can come against you that can take you down, sir. Nothing can come against you that will hold you back. If you will get a hold of this, didn't he already promise? We may have some waiting to do, and I'm going to say my poem now because this is God gave me an area and a time where I went to the altars and I said, God, we had a 4-year sabbatical in our life, and I realize now why we had. After my husband passed, I'm going, it just dawned on me one day. That's why we had 4 years. We'd left a pastorate in Colorado. We came to Oklahoma. My husband was just done. He just needed, we had a good pastor. Wasn't anything wrong. He was just ready in his spirit to move back to Oklahoma. We moved to Oklahoma and we were 4 years in Oklahoma City. He built 5 houses in 4 years. He's a builder at heart. He never was taught that trade. He just was, God is a God-given thing. And he built 4 houses, 5 houses in 4 years. During that time, we had a little junior high. When we went there, my boys were in 5th and 6th grade, and we left there, and they were in high school 4 years later. And during that time, while their daddy was building, they on Saturdays and through the summer worked with their dad, and they learned the building trade. There is a church setting down at 5th and Main right now because those two boys learned how to build. There's a church up here on Randall because my husband knew how to build. You know, he was the general contractor for that. And it's like, well, don't bring up the past, but it's something that thrills me. We even took his monument at the cemetery and made it look like First Assembly Building as much as we could, because that's what God used. You know, it was his desire of his heart, and those little crosses were his own design on the crosses, and God used all that. All I'm saying is God leads us along, and he fits our life together. Mm-hmm. It fits. You don't know why you're going through what you're going through right now. God's going to use it. God's going to use it somewhere, someplace. It's going to be to your good mm-hmm. and his glory. And so one lady told me, she said, my husband had this job, and then we did this, and then we're children's pastors, and we're this and that. And we had no idea why we kept going from thing to thing, but now we're on the mission field. And she was a nurse. She said, I use my nursing. I use, you know, and his mechanic. We use all the things that we needed now as missionaries we had done before, and God preparing. God leads us along. And I love that song again. It says, in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. And then the course starts, some through the water. I know I just got through quoting this, but I won't quote it again. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Mm. Some through great sorrow. Mm. I've been there. But God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Have you ever known sweet sorrow? Have you ever known sorrow so deep that you groan? And you hurt, and it hurts so deep inside. And yet somewhere down inside, there's just still this little joy bubble. There's still this little joy. There's still this deep peace. Still the presence of God. When you see something, you don't think, I can face this. The day my husband passed, how could I face it? I'm sitting in a room alone. Kids went home. Everybody been up all night. Everybody need to hit the hay for a while and get a couple of Z's of sleep, you know. And they left me at home. Turn off your phone, Mom. I couldn't do that. But I sat in that room alone, and he walked in. I opened the scripture and started reading, and God said, yeah, your husband suffered in his death. But look, Jesus suffered. Oh, look, Jesus was numbered with the great. Your husband's numbered with the great. Where was I in that moment? I was in God's word, and guess what it did? It bolstered me up. And then Jesus saw me in his word, and he just came in and spoke to me and let me know, yeah, he suffered, baby. But you know what? He's honored now. Mm-hmm. He's honored for what he did for the Lord. You can't replace God's word. One more scripture keeps coming to my mind to read, and if you don't mind, I'll read it. It's Isaiah 43, and it says here, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name.
Yes.
You are mine. Yes. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in your place. And since you were precious in my sight, you've been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, I am with you. Hallelujah. And one more, I'm sorry. And this has meant so much to me, because in one of my greatest needs in my life, God sent us this word. He gave it to my mother, and he pulled us through that knot hole. My husband used to say, God will pull you through any knot hole if you can stand the stretch. It'll stretch you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And King James says, the right hand of my righteousness. I like that a little better. Mm-hmm. And then this one right across the street here from it, it says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the music writer said, teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. It's a little song. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. Mm-hmm. They will walk and not faint. And then he said, teach me, Lord. Teach me to wait. Now, can I finish with my poem? Okay. The Lord, as I said, gave this to me when we were in Oklahoma City. I got sidetracked because I went to the altar and said, is there any way on this world or anywhere you can use Thilbert and I? And I came home, and I was also trying to be Helen Stinner Rice, if y'all know who she is, the great poem. God's gift to her was poems. And she now you can get them in cards, you know, Helen Stinner Rice's poems. I have actually a book that Mother had in my home of Helen Stinner Rice. But anyway, I wrote one poem. To my credit, I didn't write it. God gave it to me. That's all. Because one man looked at some of my writing, and he said, Tennyson, you are not. I said, no, I'm not very good on this. But this one, God gave, so you can give him the credit for this one. Waiting, it's called waiting. Yeah. Waiting is the hardest thing to do, especially when it seems the answer will not come through. When you've waited and waited, and then once more, you wait for God to open the door. You look for the answer first right, then left, yet all along you know you must go straight ahead. I've waited on God many days past. And I'm still waiting, but I know at last, when the time is really completely right, when I've quit fretting but continue to fight, God will come through. He'll come through for me, bringing sweet hope, joy, and victory. So with me, will you join as I wait on God, as I put my hand in his as we walk this sod, as I give and fast and go, yet wait, dreaming of the day there'll be no delay. Together, we'll stand a united force, waiting for God to open the doors. He will, I know it's true. And I'll walk into victory right beside you. Amen and amen. Victory, we're going to see it. I'm going to see my healing. You're going to see the things God's laid in your heart that he's going to do. And what's so fun is that he surprises you. And he just gives you all kinds of little treats, all kinds of little joys, just like you do when your Christmas comes for your kids. You can't. Have you ever been one of those parents that you went and bought the gifts for the kids, and then you were so excited you just went and gave it to them? And God's that way with us sometimes. He just goes and gives us a bunch of stuff because he loves us. Love him best, and he will reward you.
Amen. Yeah, I want to Isaiah 54.
Oh, yeah. I love that one. No weapon.
I was,
that's my one on Isaiah 54:17.
I was in a spot. I lost my husband. Mm-hmm. And I was just so at a loss.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord told me to look up Isaiah 54:5. But I want to go to the four first.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame.
Mm-hmm.
Do not fear disgrace.
Right.
You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth. And remember no more the reproach.
Wow.
Of your widowhood. I'm tearing up, y'all. I can't see. For your maker is your husband.
I love that.
The Lord Almighty. Yes. Not some mighty, not little mighty. Right. Almighty.
Amen.
Is his name.
Amen.
The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer.
Yes.
He is called the God of all the earth.
Yeah.
Not some of the earth. All the earth.
Yeah.
The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit. A wife who married young. Only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment, I abandoned you. But with deep compassion, I will bring you back.
I love it. I love it. Praise God. Isn't that precious? See what it's done for you? See, it spoke to you about everything in your life because it's alive. This word is alive.
You know, it takes me back to this part. Monica thought that she could make it better. But I only broke it. Are you broken today? Do you feel broken? I encourage you to cry out the name Jesus in your brokenness.
Amen.
You don't have to be ashamed. And you don't have to be afraid.
Amen.
Because his love endures forever.
Amen.
He is faithful to the faithless, for he cannot deny himself.
Amen.
You were created in the image of God. If you cry out to him in Jesus' name.
Oh, yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
He will show up.
Amen.
And open your heart and allow him to show out.
Amen.
And push out.
Amen.
The twisted truths, the darkness, and all the lies.
Amen. Preach it, sister. I'll turn those pages.
He's so good.
It's so good. It's so good to know him. If people don't know him, if you're caught in the trap of the enemy, there is a way out. Don't think suicide is the answer, because that's not. It's the way. That's the deeper trap that you never get rid of. And it's a spirit that talks to you. And you, it's not your own thinking. It's a spirit that's talking to you. So you say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of suicide. I refuse that. And I choose life. And I will choose life, and I'll choose the life of God. And then just pray. Just even the smallest prayer, the man on the cross, you know what he said? Remember me when you come to your kingdom. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I heard of one guy, Stephen Hill. You know how he got saved? He's going, Jesus! Because the man that came said, I can't help you, Steve. A preacher walked in. He was kicking. He was having shakes from drugs. And this preacher came to the door right while this has happened. The mama let the preacher right back in the bedroom where Steve was laying there shaking and convulsing. And he said, help me, preacher. Help me, preacher. And the preacher sat down on the bed, I guess, with him and said, Steve, I can't help you. And he said, then why did you come here? He said, Steve, there's one that can help you. His name is Jesus. Yes. If you'll call on him, he'll help you, Steve. I'm so glad that preacher didn't say, yeah, I'll help you, Steve. He pointed him to the one that could only really help him. And you know what Steve did? He just started screaming, Jesus! Jesus! And he said, after he screamed a few minutes and yelled, Jesus, he said his body started calming down. All the shakes stopped. He gave his heart to the Lord right there. He got up and went to Teen Challenge, went into Teen Challenge ministry for a year, met a little girl there named Jerry. God called them into missions, and they wound up in ministry, and he's telling us this. And we're sitting on a bus in Argentina, 40 of us, and I was with my brother's church from Atlanta, Georgia, and we were in Argentina. And Steve was there as a missionary with him and his wife, and he was telling us his story, how he used to be a drug runner, and how he would be under a bridge. And he said, I'd be under the bridge thinking, what am I going to do with my life? Which is God. If you have thoughts toward God, it's God talking to your heart. It's the Holy Spirit talking to your heart, preparing your heart. And this preacher had been coming by and seeing him every once in a while at home. He didn't want nothing to do him. It wasn't even a Pentecostal preacher. It was just a preacher. We only Pentecostals think only Pentecostals can do anything. You know, well, this was like a Methodist preacher or a Episcopalian or something like that, you know. But he came.
There are Babdecostals, you know.
There's Babdecostals, too. There are. And, hallelujah. Anyway, this guy came, and he pointed him to Jesus. And when Steve started yelling, Jesus. So you can get saved. All you have to do, the Bible says, whosoever shall call. Mm-hmm. You don't get saved like this with your mouth shut. You get saved by knowing that you are a sinner and he is the Savior. And if you're going to get to go to heaven and not hell, then you got to have a Savior to get rid of those sins, and that he did it for you. You've got to know that. You've got to know that he's going to reward you. The Bible says he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you've got to know he's going to hear you. And if you call on him, he will hear. And you can, there's several ways to do it. You can be in a car, and you can say right there, I'm giving my heart to Jesus. You can pull over and pray. I've seen people do that. Pray the sinner's prayer right on the side of the highway. You can be in church and you can walk an aisle and go down in front of people and make your dedication to the Lord. If you do get saved on the side of the road, then you need to call somebody and tell them.